relearned about World War One, and it's pretty messed up, to say the least. And we'll try to talk about that a little bit today. So, when we mean World War One, do we truly mean like all of the world is involved? There's quite a bit of places, but no, not all of the world. Really, by all of the world, we're thinking more World War II, which we'll talk about. Yeah, but this is what the war was called. The war to end all wars. That's what literally people thought, that this would be the last war that man would ever fight. That's what they called it then. They didn't call it World War I. They called it the war to end all wars. So that was kind of the whole gist behind it. All right, so like most wars throughout history, it starts in Europe. Okay? Weird. So, but Europe is different than what we see Europe of today. So I just want to go over this real quick. So you have the German Empire. Look, it's a little bit bigger than Germany is today. Okay? It's got Poland. It's huge. It's got a lot of, a lot of different countries are added into it. Okay, Austria. Well, Austria's a little bit down here, but you can see the size of Germany's huge. It's also known as the German Empire. They literally have an emperor. Okay? They have, an emperor is really, what do you call him? It's called, his name is Kaiser Wilhelm. So instead of they use the word emperor or king, they use the word Kaiser. Okay? You also have Austria-Hungary, which is an empire as well, which is this huge, giant country. Okay? The Ottoman Empire. Down over here, Russia, which is still huge, but they have a king, okay? Then you have France, which is, France. They have an elected government. Italy, which has elected government, and England has elected government. But the important thing is like, there's not, like, hundreds of countries in there like there is nowadays in Europe. There's, like, 50 different countries in here in Europe nowadays, okay? But back then, no, just one empire. So we still have, like, kings and queens and emperors, but then we also have, like, prime ministers and presidents as well. So it's like a little bit different, all right? So it all starts here with this guy. Anybody heard of this band? Yeah. Franz Ferdinand? Okay, Franz Ferdinand is a band. So the guy we're going to talk about is Archduke Franz Ferdinand. And he's from Austria-Hungary, okay? Yeah, that's his title. It's like Prince, but Archduke Franz Ferdinand. Pretty sweet name though. Nobody's heard of that name before?
I've heard people name their dog Ferdinand.
So. Okay. I watched a YouTube video. This guy was talked about it last night. Okay. So Archduke Franz Ferdinand. It's a good band. Go look it up too. This is what he looked like.
Square.
Yeah, pretty sweet mustache.
Square head.
It is the time of sweet facial hair. Not as good as the Civil War in the 1860s, but this is not bad, okay? But this is him. So, the funny thing, so Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria-Hungary, super powerful empire, and he is related to the emperor of it. To be honest, he's not well-liked by the family, but nonetheless, he is out touring this country, or this city known as Sarajevo, okay? And what happens is he is assassinated. Okay? He is out touring around. You can see in the back of this car. He's touring around Sarajevo, which is a hellhole of a city. But anyways, this is kind of the funny thing about it. He was touring around the city as like, hello, I'm a dignitary. I'm here to make our countries happy and stuff. And someone tried to blow him up with a bomb, and it didn't work. And so he goes home for a while, or back to his hotel for a while. And then he's like, oh, let's go back out again. And then he gets shot. Okay, it's like, you didn't get the clue the first time that somebody wanted to kill you. But, whatever. So, he is shot and assassinated. That is important. On June 28, 1914. Now, here's the guy that killed him. His name's Gavrilo Princip. That's his hallmark to history. Right there. He killed someone, okay? Part of a terrorist organization known as the Black Hand. Oddly enough, though, here's a weird coincidence in history. If you ever look up assassins throughout history, all known by their three names. First, middle, and last.
except for this guy. And one other one.
I think you mentioned that.
Yeah. Every other one known by three names. Creepy, weird. Okay. Anyways, so this guy kills him. Now, here's the weird thing. We could say all of World War I was caused by the death of this one man. One guy caused millions of people to lose his life. Which is a crazy thought process even nowadays. So, here's what happened. Austria-Hungary declares war on Serbia, which is where he was shot. Makes sense. Somebody from that country murdered one of their royals. So they declare war on him. Makes logical sense, right? Because it's about to get really complicated here really quickly, so I want to make sure we try to follow along with this. Makes sense. You killed one of ours, we declare war. Probably not the wisest move to do, but it makes logical sense. So, they declare war. Well, this is what Germany does. Is Germany involved in this at all to this point?
No.
Is anybody else?
No.
No. It's two countries, one dude died. Okay? This is what happens. So, ally of Austria-Hungary. What happens is, in response to Russia mobilizing, Germany declares war on Russia and then declares war on France because, well, they're France. Okay?
France.
Well,
Germany hated
2 days later.
Because they're France?
Well, yeah.
Who likes France in
the bad place? Yeah, you declare war on France. So, well, let's go to Great Britain. I'll explain this more, too, here in a minute. This is what Great Britain does. Declares war on Germany because Germany declared war on France and invaded Belgium.
What? Okay, so is Britain like allies with France?
Ah, so this is what happens.
I need colors to help with this.
Serbia, yeah, and then Germany went war with Russia.
So this is what you have, this is what happens here. So on one side, you have what is known as the Axis powers. On the other side, you might hit the lights for me real quick, please. Thank you. You have the Allies. No, lights on.
Oh.
Ah. Thank you.
Ah.
Aha, we can see. Alright. On the Axis side, we have the Austria-Hungary.
Do you know the Austrian state?
Okay, and then you also have Germany, the Ottomans, that's pretty much it. You also have Italy.
And Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay, so that's what you have on that side. On this side, we have our original country, Serbia. Russia, France, Belgium. Who else am I missing here? Russia, France, England. And later, the U.S. Okay? So these are the two sides. So, what happens, this is very much like, I don't know, like a gang or a group of buddies. So, alright. Ryan and Tristan are friends. Ben beats up Tristan. Okay? Ryan, what are you going to do if it happens right in front of you? Yeah, you're going to attack in retribution, okay? You're going to protect it, okay? That is theory how this works. Whoa, I don't know what happened.
So is Tristan France?
So, they are allies, which is probably what you want in the world, are allies to help you. Well, here's why it gets confusing and weird. I need to close this because it's bothering me. So, what happened? So it's pretty simple to straight up begin with. Austria-Hungary declares war against Serbia. Simple. Okay? Well, Russia is friends with Serbia. So they start building up their army and putting it on their borders. Well, Germany's friends with Austria-Hungary. So they see that Russia's going to attack. So before that they attack, they declare war on them. So thus, in response, they declare war on them, and they declare war on them.
What if Germany didn't declare war on Russia, what would happen?
I don't know. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Well, what happened then is Germany, since France was friends with Russia, Germany then declares war on France.
Poor France.
Well,
looking at a map, to get to France, you have to go through Belgium. So Germany invades Belgium. So then, Belgium declares war on Germany, France declares war on Germany, France declares war on Austria-Hungary, and then England says, you can't invade Belgium, so they declare war on Germany and Austria-Hungary, so Germany declares war on England. And the Ottomans declare war on everybody else too, because they're friends. And then Italy declares war on everybody because they're friends. No, I'm getting confused. Okay. And then eventually the U.S. declares war on Germany. Yay! World War I is not complicated whatsoever.
So Germany had everybody against them.
Yeah. Take that down in your notes. It'll be on the test.
Germany. Everybody hated Germany. I'll put that mental check.
I wrote that.
Nobody. But here's the greatest funny thing. This war lasted over 5 years. Austria, Hungary, and Serbia, which started all, found peace within 1 year.
Really?
Yeah. The whole thing started because one dude died. They settled their difference within a year, but everybody else kept fighting.
Why?
Yay, international politics. Makes zero sense. Okay. But here's the big kicker. World War I started, yes, because the assassination of Franz Ferdinand. But really happened because everybody just started declaring war on each other because everybody was allies with each other. Make sense? Good. All right. Okay. I wanted to make sure I made that really clear to understand drawing.
They had the military to take on all of those people.
They had the military to take on all of those people.
They had a pretty good one.
Heck yeah.
They just had the points on them. Of course they won.
Alright, let's see if I can get this back to where I was. There we go. Alright, so we got this. England declared war. So here's to give you an idea. Here was one side, the Allies. So you had Serbia, Belgium, France, Great Britain, Russia, Montenegro, which is a small country. And yeah, Japan was in it, but Japan didn't do anything. It's because they were really friends with Russia.
Great Britain would be the biggest one.
Well, yes, because they threw it.
We're Great Britain.
Well, that's because it's their cartoon.
Exactly.
That's why it's in English.
Exactly.
Well, of course you're going to make yourself the biggest when you draw it. Okay? So technically, that's one side. Now, here's your other side. Here would be your Axis powers. So this is the Germany flag back then, Austria-Hungary, the Ottoman Empire. Oh, can you hit the 2 minute lights again for me, please? Okay. So those are our two sides. Now that everybody kind of gets that, I know it's kind of complicated, but kind of gets that. Okay. So here's our map again. We'll go back to, here's what made World War I different than anything else. Okay. Everybody has World War I as, or war is fighting. This is what makes it different. Everybody see the ziggy, zaggy lines?
Yeah, those are trenches.
Okay. Right, this is a picture taken from the air. Okay. These are trenches. This is what World War I is known for, is trench warfare. Okay. This is the big deal. So here's what trenches look like. Okay, this is an actual picture. This is the cool thing about the war, or cool thing, or devastating thing, is we have pictures. This is what it looked like. It's not, great at all. That dude's dead.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that guy is
too. Okay, and that guy is too. This guy is alive. That guy might be alive, and that guy's clearly alive. But this is what it is. This takes place. Let me back it up a little bit, just so we can kind of see it. This is, let me zoom in so we can see here. We're right in here. Everybody see where this little, outside of Paris here? Okay. So we're in northeast France. The climate not so different from here. So it's extremely rainy, okay, and wet, which leads to the problems here. So in these trenches, let me go to the next picture so you have a better diagram. This is what it looks like from the side view, okay? So you clearly have your trench here. So you have one side, this would be where the enemy is at here. Okay. You have sandbags as your wall. Hopefully sand stops the bullet. Usually does an okay job at it, if it hits it right. Okay. Then you have your trench. Hopefully it's got wood on the side of it. And then maybe you dug out something here to be in. You stand on this, then you look out here. And then this would be down underneath. and this would be the rear side, and maybe you got something dug up here. Another berm, and then maybe a machine gun nest over there. Okay? Problem is, what happens if this is what you got? What happens when it rains?
It's gonna
flood. It's gonna flood. Can you go anywhere? Okay, you go up. What happens if you go up?
You get shot.
You get shot. So can you go up?
No.
No.
Do people drown?
So you sitting there in the rain. Okay, you can see there's no cover really or protection or anything like that. Okay, so what do you think happens when you sit in water for a while?
Get
cold.
And your body
okay.
gets all wrinkly and your fingernails fall out and you start crying in the water.
Yeah, everybody been in the bath too long, you get the old wrinkly fingers. Think about that for a month and then moving.
Your fingernails
okay.
are
you know what you get? You get something called trench foot or trench rot. Your feet will literally begin to rot off your body. Okay? I mean, like, fundamentally, that is what happens. You get gangrene infection and your foot will begin to decompose while on you. And it will smell and eventually run off and probably kill you. Okay? That's what just life is like in a trench. How this worked, okay? See if I have a picture of it here next. Okay? So that's what it looks like from the side. So, I put this in there. They stretch for 400 miles. Okay? No, that's like from point A to point B, that's 400 miles. Really, there was 12,000 miles dug. The reason why I'll go back to this picture here is here. You can see there's not like a straight part of this at all. Notice how it zigzags back and forth. It goes back. So that way you can reload from this side and move people up. Okay, it's not like you just run straight and you just drop into a ditch. Okay, and you do it zigzaggy, so in case somebody comes running this way and attack, oh look, I have an angle to attack from. Okay, so there's really 12,000 miles of human-made ditches all over the ground that literally scar the earth. Okay,
moles,
and they're still there.
Remnants of them are, and this is what the area looked like in between. So. I can erase this very clear drawing now.
Yeah.
All right, everybody got this. Cool.
Yeah.
Like I said, on the test.
Ooh, tattoo, everybody.
Okay, so what it would look like? One side, boom, trench.
You want me to put the little lid on the projector?
Okay, so this is what would happen. Okay. In between the two. So you'd have literally one side versus the other side here. They would be less than 100 yards away from each other. When you think about it, that's a football field. You can yell. You can see people from that far. Okay? In between. Barbed wire. Okay? Landmines. Oh, landmines. How do I draw landmines?
Landmines.
It's like a little circle. Okay? Landmines. Anti-tank. Metal thingies, so you can't drive straight through it. Okay? So that's what it's like in between. Oh, also, it's been blown to hell. So it's all full of holes. Okay? This area was called No Man's Land. Anybody want to guess what it's called? No Man's Land?
Because no man. They're all dead.
Yeah. You didn't live. That area was vacant the entire time. So this is what the strategy was in war. Everybody line up in the trenches. And I kid you, I'm not even making this up. A guy blows a whistle. You run up the ladder, out the trench, the top of the trench, and you run at the enemy.
All right.
I kid you not, that's exactly what it was. That was the strategy. And hopefully enough of you made it, then you jump in their trench and kill them. That was the entire strategy of the war. And what would happen is you'd get part way, and then they'd blow a whistle, retreat, you run back, and then the other side does it. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. That was the war. You did. It's not like nowadays, modern warfare, where you're like hiding behind crap and, you know, constantly moving. No. Line up, run, run back. Line up, run back.
So it really worked, really involved. Like the Civil War type fighting.
Yeah, it's very much like the old-timey fighting where everybody lines up square to square. It's like, all right, I'm going to shoot you now. 3, 2, 1, boom. All right, your turn. you miss. Okay? It's very similar. It's like, all right, run at me. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, my turn. I mean, it's like a joke, but it's real. Anybody want to guess what happens if you didn't get up and run?
Yeah,
your side shot you.
Oh. Yeah. So you had
they would just shoot you right there. Because this, I mean, in the Battle of the Somme, which we'll go on to talk about, in the first day, day one, they lost 40,000 people on one side. One side. Yeah, so you go back to your trench now. Okay. It's rainy. It's crappy. And guess what? Oh, you got dead bodies here. And yeah, that's like morally depressing because you're sitting there and you go, oh, there's a dead dude. Okay. Yeah, that's true. But guess what? You got anywhere to put that thing? No. You got nowhere to put it. You can't just like roll it up the top because you get shot. You don't want to die?
You could do it like a puppet.
Yeah, that'd be not okay. Okay? So, that doesn't work. So you are forced to thus leave it. Thus, it begins to rot and decompose. And what happens when you have something rotting and decomposing?
Chicken.
Smells awful. That's true. But it's also going to attract pests like rats, which carry disease. And you'll literally see rats eating your friends alive. And then the rats will come for you even though you're not dead. And then that will spread disease as well. So, people, like, literally back then, wanted to go to war. Because in every book it was, oh, the romantic fighting, the knights, the fighting and all, the war is glorious. Well, that doesn't sound so glorious. Sitting in a trench, watching your friend decompose and be eaten by rats in front of you while you senselessly die to run across a field in France? Sounds pretty pointless. Well, kind of was. But I mean, like, I kid you not, that's like, people would be given, like, and you'll see, like, celebrations to go to war. So this is another problem with the war, is that it's one of the few times in history where, like, in the past and in the future met. This is what I mean. This is what made it so bad. So you had tanks for the very first time. Ooh. Now, they're not tanks like we think of, like, M1 Abrams coming in and, like, boom, big cannon and don't mess with me tank. Or even World War II tank. Okay? Tanks were, like, brand new. Anybody want to know why they, or anybody think they know why they invented a tank?
Like, probably when they get over
the
trenches.
Yeah, drive over a trench. That's the sole reason. You can see there's not like a whole lot of people fitting inside of this. Mainly everybody's on the outside of this thing. They weren't very effective, but they were there. Okay? They just weren't like that big of a deal. It was like the new crazy thing. It's like, ooh, monster.
Do the guns on the side actually work?
Yeah, they actually work. They just, like I said, weren't very effective. You think this thing's going to do very well in mud?
Yeah.
No. It's not going to do very well if there's like a crater in front of it either. Yeah, it was constantly raining and there's craters. It's like, yeah, this thing's like great in theory.
But it's useless.
You put it out there where there's a whole bunch of barbed wires and holes in the ground, it's not very good. Okay. But they had them.
Well, if you
they also had this.
Oh, yeah.
Artillery.
Well, that's
okay. So we still have these today. Yeah. Howitzers, things like that. But pretty much what it is put a big bullet in it and shoot it. Okay? You can see the size of the bullets here. You can see the size of the cannon. Look at the tires on this thing.
Huge.
Yeah. Huge artillery guns. Even, you know, there's the size of some of the shells for you.
Whoa. They shoot
the size of that thing. Mm-hmm. The size of a human being.
Yeah.
How heavy?
Anybody know what, like, is actually inside of a bullet?
Gunpowder.
Gunpowder, and then, like, what's the actual bullet part?
Well, that's
in a shotgun.
Usually copper, like on the outside.
It's just like a slug. It's just like this piece of metal. Okay? So really what this is, think about this, human size, this is all casing full of gunpowder, and this thing goes to here. So you're shooting a giant piece of metal that is about that high at hundreds upon hundreds of miles an hour, and it's slamming into the ground or whatever it hit. It's going to go boom, rather largely. You think A gunshot makes a loud noise. Try this thing. Okay? You're literally packing this whole thing full of gunpowder and saying, ha ha ha, let's see how this goes. Okay?
How many times did they explode?
Okay. Well, not much. It's an old technology. I mean, when we're talking artillery guns, these folks weren't messing around. Yeah, it's a big freaking gun.
What is it on, though?
It's a tank. This is what I told you. It's like, we have 1 foot in the future, folks. And then we got 1 foot in the past, where we still got, like, horses out there. And then there's, like, this thing.
It looks like a boat. Huge, like, alien ship.
Yeah, it looks like a ship.
Yeah. But, I mean, look at the size. All right, here's a human being. Here's the gun. Okay? That thing's huge. And so what they would do with it. So you had all those, like, trenches and all that. Okay? And what they would do is line up all the artillery guns here. And by all the artillery guns, I mean thousands. Just line them all up. And what they would do is, before they would attack, is fire them for 48 hours straight. Nonstop.
Just to kill as many as they can before they went in.
Yeah, the theory was, I'm just going to blow you to hell, and then we're going to run over there and kill you. But by the time you get there, you'll be dead. So, yay us.
Oh, yeah,
look at this.
You.
It's a pretty effective strategy.
Yeah.
These are shells. These are the casings.
Sorry, I can't hear you. My ears are gone.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to that in a second. But just the sheer thought of how many rounds were fired. I mean, just like in one position. That's ridiculous. Now it kind of gives you an idea of like what the ground looked like. Post-apocalyptic doesn't even begin to describe it. Right. You think Batman vs. Superman and the, like, that hell looks bad. Real world hell is a hell of a lot worse. No pun intended. Okay. But yeah. One day of firing. Here we go.
That's 2 days.
Well, not this one. This is one day.
That was one day?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Here's a picture from that. That's just what the other side looked like. Constantly, night sky.
Why
does
it say
lit
a
up.
Wonderful night photo?
Everybody see this?
Yeah.
Be humans running into it.
Those are fence posts.
Okay. Anybody want to guess how accurate those things were?
Not that accurate.
That's right.
Like, oh yeah, those are the enemies. Like, no. Like, you're probably gonna be killing both.
This
sides.
Is where geometry comes in. You try to factor in, oh, if I do this angle and this fast and hits, but reality. It looked close. You're firing thousands of them. It's like, it's got to be doing something. Hopefully it'll be all right. Okay?
Maybe.
So, but what they're doing, though, is firing thousands upon thousands of them for hours and hours and hours. 24, 48, 72 hours of nonstop firing of the loudest booms you can hear. And what happens is it creates something called shell shock. Anybody heard of this? Anybody know any veterans that's come back with PTSD? Or just know of PTSD. That's what this is. This is the first time we've ever had, like, noticeable psychiatric cases of PTSD. What would happen is that there were so many times that they were firing these things just nonstop that your impending doom was, like, just pure luck where you sat. It's pure luck that you just didn't get blown up. And there's hundreds of stories of people, like, sitting, going up, going to the bathroom, turning around, and all their buddies got killed behind them. Like, that was coming. And so you lived in this constant state of, I'm going to die. Just a matter of time. And this constant barrage, this boom, 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 boom. Always, 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 always. And it created a system or a mentality for these people that just destroyed them mentally. Right, you can see this guy here, just completely broken down, physically unable to do anything. And that's what happened to people. Made them, like, catatonic, like, afraid. I mean, people nowadays with PTSD have, like, flashbacks or something could trigger them. This was, like, PTSD to the nth degree.
PTSD.
I mean, my brother had, you know, issues of being bombarded in Iraq. But, I mean, that would be, like, a one- or two-time event, three-time event. This was 72 hours for years. You know, this happened, you know, every 3 days. And what that did to them mentally to these people was just mind-boggling. Destroyed them physically and mentally.
Is that a real picture?
Yeah, it's a real picture.
I gotta talk to that other guy.
Yeah. Also, first time we had air combat in war. Very first time. Air forces were invented during this time.
That's one fat German plane.
Uh-huh.
It's not like...
Yeah. Now you're going up. Now we're talking like there's no missiles. It's just guns on the front of these things. Okay, and on the back of them too. Yeah, very first time we had aerial fighting going on. That's a big step for modern day war. I mean, it's not like this was the decisive thing like it was in World War II and anything else. But it still happened. We also had this.
Yeah, that's illegal now.
Yes, it is illegal.
It's illegal in warfare. You can't use that.
It's
correct.
Not as bad as white phosphorus.
Now, this is the very first war we also had biological warfare. Mustard gas being the most favored one out of all of them. So, what would happen, okay, is not only would they shell you, try to blow you to hell, but then they would also shoot over mustard gas. Okay? Mustard gas, as you can see here, was not used lightly. It was used heavily to create massive clouds. Okay? And what it would do is it creates this gas that is released from it. Okay? And the gas that is released for it goes into your lungs, theoretically, and then as soon as it hits the moisture that is in your lungs, it will begin to, well, melt you from the inside out.
Oh,
it's a cloud. Oh, this doesn't feel good.
They probably think it was like
yeah. Yeah, if it hits moisture, it then becomes acidic.
Oh,
okay.
And France
burns
was covered in rain.
Uh-huh.
Just walking around. It's like,
yeah. Okay.
But do you know what white phosphorus is?
That's a guy that got hit by mustard gas and survived. See the boils, the burns? Probably didn't want to survive after that. Something like that, there's no cure for that. You literally just scorch the inside of your lungs. Sorry, we can't heal even today that, unless we do a lung transplant, which, you know, isn't very common. So, when we paint this picture of war, and I'm going to show you a movie on this, an actual movie which does a great job on it. It is, I mean, the term messed up doesn't even begin to touch it. I mean, there was no bright spot in this at all. Like, nothing. It was all bad. I mean, this was just... So not only did you have to run, the pure strategy of this, like, get across, run, and go, you know, don't get killed. Oh, now you have mustard gas. You have airplanes that could shoot you. You have artillery that could blow you up. And all that. Okay? So, a pretty hellacious place. Oh, not to mention, this is the first time these were used. Yeah. So, yeah, it was one thing when you're running across a field and it was just a guy with a gun. Not machine guns, like full-on what we think of nowadays machine guns. I mean, that's... that makes that a little bit harder.
That guy has a nice hat, though.
Well, he's British. Okay. So, yet again, remember, this is a war where we're using horses still. Horses and machine guns together make a bad combination. Machine gun will win every time. Alright, so here's a picture of No Man's Land, just to give you an idea. That used to be a forest. See, No Man's Land in Flanders Field in France. You can see all the holes destroyed it. There was literally nothing lived in there. No animals. Nothing. It was devoid of life.
He just didn't care about
it. Have you heard that poem?
Really?
Which one?
Flanders Fields.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Pretty, I mean, yeah, we talk about going across, run, and then imagine like getting up and running across that, and it's like, oh, I could run across the field. Yeah, that's not really a field. It's a giant, like, crater of the moon, and you're being shot at, and it's nighttime. Yeah, because you don't want to run across in the daytime. That would just be idiotic. So run across in the nighttime where I can't see the barbed wire. And by the way, barbed wire is one of the worst inventions of the war. Because what is barbed wire? Like, just what is it, basically?
It's just razor blades and wire.
It's going to get you caught.
It's steel that just has two ends cut constantly. And it's just left open. Okay, what happens if you leave it outside?
rust.
It gets rusty.
Oh, shit. Tetanus.
Yeah. So even if you run into it, you are now probably getting infected with tetanus or bacteria. Yes, and you'll probably die from that. So even people are like, oh, I ran into barbed wire. It's like, we've all run into barbed wire. That's fine. But it's like, wait a minute. Now when you put it in that perspective and you can't get it dry because it's constantly raining, oh, barbed wire really sucks. Okay, so pretty nasty area. So anyways, here's one story I wanted to show you guys. So we have no man's land here. You see the barbed wire and all that. Okay. On one of the Christmas days, they literally had what was known as a Christmas Day Truce. These guys could, like I said, see each other from their pits, from their trenches. And so on one Christmas day, the German, the French, and the British troops actually called a truce, met in no man's land, and played soccer.
What?
This is a literal picture from them. These are German troops versus French troops playing soccer.
It looks like they're having fun.
That is ridiculous.
And then the next day, after Christmas Day, they go back to killing each other.
Why?
There's a movie about this.
Yeah. Called The Christmas Day Truce.
Looks like they're having fun. Like, hey, look at that guy back
there.
Like,
yeah, they had that one day of truce, they should have just been, all right, yeah, we're cool now. Let's just go home.
Yeah, the government, it's good.
Well, who's the one telling them to be there to fight?
Not like they were fighting over anything in the first place.
Well, yeah, they're fighting over
their
honor.
Was, but why can't they just be like, hey, we have more troops?
But that's kind of nuts to think. Out of all that death and chaos, you go and, you know, have a day of
peace. I don't
understand
why they follow the power so, like, strongly.
Kind of
like,
nuts.
The emperor comes over and says, like,
all
right, we're the one with the mustard.
Okay, I'll show you this briefly. We'll talk about this more next time. Here is your death tolls. So Russia, so here on the far left, you have total mobilized forces. The amount of people that they actually put in combat. 12 million from Russia.
Jeez.
The biggest army in the world right now is like about 1 million people. It's 12 million from one country. 1.7 million died. Right? Remember, these are estimates. It's not like we could prove it exactly. Almost 5 million were wounded. 2.5 go missing. Never to be heard from again. So presumed dead. Okay. So pretty nuts. Casualties, that would be your total wounded plus dead. So out of that 12 million, 9.1 million got hurt or died. And by the way, hurt, I mean, it's not like back then or back now, it's like, oh, shot in the arm, flesh wound. I'm a movie star, I can keep running. No, you had a 60% chance of dying if you got shot in the arm. Yay. Or getting amputated, which was a higher percent chance. Okay. So you can see just kind of United States, we'll talk more about them later, 4.3 million mobilized, 116,000. Well, we entered the war extremely late, so that's why our casualties were very little. Japan, did 300 people died. No, they just had very little involvement. Did some stuff on the east. But you can see Russia had the biggest. British lost almost 1 million people. France lost 1.3 million. But Russia was the huge casualty there. So not only was there fighting in the west, but fighting in the east as well, which we'll talk about more next time. And Germany, 11 million people, 1.7 million died. Okay, 1.1 million missing, unaccounted for. Pretty nuts number to think of. All right, any basic questions? We're going to continue talking about this, but any basic questions about this stuff right now?
Didn't Hitler fight in World War
I? Yes, Hitler did fight in World War I. Everybody knows Hitler's famous mustache, just the right here in the middle. Story of Hitler in World War I is that, now, granted, this is a story that Hitler told that we cannot prove. There's a very famous British soldier that was very decorated and all this. Is believed to have, Hitler claimed that he was held at gunpoint by this person and then eventually was let go out of pity. Hitler was a very low-ranking member of the German government or German army. Now, it was believed that he shaved his mustache like this because he almost died in a mustard gas attack. Because if you had big, popular mustaches like that guy had, throw on a gas mask,
not going to seal well. You got your mustache poking out. So some people learn that the hard way. So, yeah, he was a World War I veteran. And he survived it, which will lead into World War II. All right. That's all I got for you today. Pretty simple day.
Mask on.